This is Colourful.
Okay, we did promise you that we were going to speak to the woman who wowed the Tory conference a couple of days ago, giving what Quentin Letts, the parliamentary sketchwriter of the Daily Mail, said was the most barnstorming right-wing speech of the conference. It was given by a deputy headmistress from South London. Her name is Catherine Birbal Singh, and she attacked a state system which she says was broken as it keeps poor children poor. She plans to publish a book exposing the chaos in the system. That's after a decade of teaching in state schools. She hopes the coalition push for free schools will reduce the influence of the unions. And I'm told that people have been captivated by what she said. Let's talk to her now. Catherine, good morning.
Good morning, Henry.
How do you feel today?
Well, a little bit scared.
Why?
Because I said things I shouldn't really have said. You know, a lot of us think these things, but we're not allowed to say them. And so when you come out and put your head above the parapet, you get some people who really love you and some people who don't like you so much.
And you're worried because you've strayed beyond the usual realms of a deputy head into pure politics, haven't you?
Yes, I suppose so. And now a number of people have heard what I think. My friends always heard what I thought before, whereas now I have a larger audience.
I have to admit, when Quentin was talking yesterday about this lady that basically set the conference alight, I heard the name Singh. I assumed you were Asian. And I was kind of going, oh, typical Sikh, to be honest. Very usually quite, in the sense they're usually quite right wing. And
oh,
I was really? And I was shocked when I saw your face. A, because I've met you before. So not only that, but B, because, yeah, you're a black woman. And I just didn't expect that kind of politics. Now, I know that you said you were a Marxist originally, and
I should say, actually, yep. What I said was that I used to read Marxism Today. I'm not sure I would have described myself as a Marxist,
okay.
But I was very much to the left.
Fair enough. So tell me how we've arrived at this situation where you're now speaking at a Conservative Party conference and you've made such a massive shift, or what appears to be.
Well, it's been over years, just watching what happens to my kids and how the school system works and how our hands are tied behind our backs in terms of the teachers and the people who lead our schools, the heads and so on. And I've realized over the years through talking to people that I suppose everyone kept telling me I was right-wing for my views, and I always used to deny it because I thought being right-wing was kind of being evil. And then I've just realized over the years that actually, yeah, it's true that I am right-wing. And a lot of people, I think the liberal left, want what's best for our kids, but they don't realize that their way of going about getting it is not giving them the best. And if you use equality as the thing to pursue, as opposed to letting people do what's necessary and having the motivation to reach the top, you don't get equality. You just don't get it. It'd be great if we could just hand out everything to everyone and everyone would be happy and take it. But that's not the way it works. Human nature just doesn't work that way. And I see human nature all the time in my children. And when I'm trying to persuade them to work hard for something, and they think, but I'm going to get it anyway, so it's easy. I can get that GCSE without working, or I'm going to get a place at university because everybody does. It means that they don't have any motivation to really achieve.
Yeah, I'm hearing what you're saying. I mean, your kind of view of the left is the road to hell is paved with good intentions, if I can put it that way. That seems to be what you're saying to me. But I'm interested in this idea of this sort of that equality is not the answer. In terms of, because I gather what you said, but you were talking about the failure of black boys.
Yeah.
And how the school system was failing them in particular.
Yeah.
How is it that that is to be reversed? What actual, what can you suggest that's going to change that?
Okay, well, for instance, the liberal left and the thinking that pervades our schools is one, it's a bit of a soft touch. So the child comes from a difficult background, let's be a bit easy on him. Zero tolerance is not the way to go. The child comes in with the wrong uniform, I don't know, he's not wearing the right tie or whatever it is, let it go, it's not a big deal, he comes from a chaotic background. But actually, what children need, and the ones who come from the most difficult backgrounds, they need structure. They need to be ring-fenced. And children like that. They cry out for it. Of course they're going to fight back, because they're children. But what they love, the the classes where they succeed the most are with the strictest teachers. They don't want to be allowed to do whatever they want. They want to be reined in, and we need to do more of that. Black children often come from a home environment where, well, it depends. Some of them will come from a chaotic home environment, and some of them will come from an environment which is very strict. And then they come into school where things aren't strict at all, and they go crazy because they think, yippee, I can do what I like here, and I'm not going to get into trouble for it. So that's a huge problem in terms of the liberal left's influence on black children. But then there's also the idea that, you know, teachers are being racist for trying to discipline them, or heads are being racist for trying to exclude them. And this is something I've said for years, this idea that, you know, a school is trying to exclude a black boy, and everybody jumps up and down and says, well, the school must be racist. But what they don't understand is that that black boy, if a school has got to a point where they want to exclude a child, it means for years this child has been disrupting other people's learning. It means that they have bullied other children, they've bullied teachers, they've behaved in a way that's so appalling, because we need such evidence. You cannot imagine the kind of evidence we have before we might go for an exclusion. So if we're actually going for one, that's because we know of the influence that child has on other children. And that child isn't having influence on white children. He's having influence on other black children. So we all jump up and down and say, oh my goodness, black children are failing. Why is that? It's because we won't expel the bad apples. We allow them to stay.
All right, okay. Do you think things were better in terms of managing, kids in schools when we were hitting them?
When we were hitting them?
Yeah. Isn't that, I mean, what I keep coming back to is this sort of sense, the sort of failures in education that we in this country, who were brought up on a dark, you know, basically we used to beat children into submission to get them to behave. That's been, you know, is now for very, very good reasons, not done. And yet we've replaced it. We've got no other alternative system of discipline that seems to work.
Well, no, I don't agree with you. There's all sorts of systems of discipline. And it's just that we don't use them and we're not allowed. And so,
for instance, can you manage somebody in, you know, a disruptive pupil apart from excluding them? Is there any other way?
Well, there's all sorts of little ways that you do. You know, you have them stand up, you have them give them detentions, you send them out of the class, you know, they're all those kinds of things. But ultimately, the ultimate sanction is that they would have to leave the school. And children don't want to leave their school. And if they thought that was a real threat, then they would behave differently. But it isn't a real threat, because they know you're never going to be able to get rid of them. They know that. They say it all the time. What are you going to do to me? There's nothing you can do. They say it all the time. So, you know, ultimately, if they were scared for their place in school, then they would value
Okay. That's the word then. Fear. Is fear an essential part of managing children in a school?
Yeah, absolutely. They have to feel a little bit of fear. I mean, I don't mean they need to walk around terrified, but there needs to be a sense of, oh my goodness, yeah, I have to behave myself. Oh my goodness, I need to show respect to my teachers. There has to be that. Of course there is.
And these ideas of yours, do you think they've got any traction with the government?
Yeah, well, for the first time, somebody's listening to me. I mean, for years, I've been trying to get the left to listen to me. I've tried in a number of different ways to get my views heard, and they didn't want to hear me. They didn't want to know, you know. I asked Diane Abbott herself if I could go and speak at the Black Child Conference that she used to hold every year. They wouldn't have me. Nobody wanted to listen. And now, finally, somebody is listening. And I believe that's because the government, the Conservative Party that I was talking at, well, they're right-wing. And that's because my views are right-wing. So it chimes with what they think. And the left did not want to listen to me because they found my views reprehensible.
Catherine, have you managed during your time as a teacher, and it says in the papers that you've been teaching for about 10 years, principally in South London, managed to implement any of these views in your schools?
Yes.
Or have you always been swimming against the tide? Have you always had left-wing teachers around you saying, Catherine, you can't do that, not in this school, or that's 50-style teaching. You know, here we are child-centred, we've got to understand them more.
Yeah, I did. In my last school, I brought in a whole new behavior approach, which was about zero tolerance, and I used to photocopy articles about Giuliani in New York and that kind of thing, and to try and persuade the staff. And I had to fight. I really had to fight in the school to fight the staff and the mentality to get them to do what I was asking them to do. And in the end, the school transformed. it was amazing how the behavior changed. And, you know, you picked up on the little things. Ties needed to be at the top, shirts needed to be tucked in, children needed to, you know, and it was amazing. The school transformed.
Got an email here, Catherine, from Jay, who says, I take Catherine's point regarding reluctance to exclude bad apples and exclusion not being taken lightly. However, there are still very good reasons why that disruptive pupil has behaved in such a way for years, much of which is down to racism. This is a failing on the part of the school. That's what Jay says.
Well, I just disagree. I don't think it's because of racism that child is misbehaving. Actually, I think it's because we've been too liberal with him.
There must be cases, though, of children who are incredibly bright, get frustrated, get bored, feel overlooked. Because I went through a period, like that in my own school, and mine was a posh Catholic school where I felt I was being blamed. I was the only black boy in the class, and there's no doubt about it. Even 30 years on, I know 100% that I was targeted for discipline that my white counterparts, who did worse than me and who were not as bright as I was, did not get pulled up for. 100% without doubt, and they would say that today. And there are other kids who are going to be in that position, even in a liberal left-wing environment.
Well, I think 30 years ago, you were probably right. I think that schools were very different 30 years ago. My experience of teaching in 5 different schools with hundreds of teachers over the years does not show me that. Okay. And I mean, I'm the first person to jump up and say that's something racist. You know, I really am. And if I'd seen this in classrooms and schools, I would talk about it. But I'm not seeing it. What I am seeing are frustrated teachers trying to get children to behave and black children losing out because of what, unfortunately, you see, as you just said, 30 years ago, the black people, the black community, the parents are in their 30s and in their 40s. And so they remember their own school experience. And when they remember their own school experience, they remember the racism that they came across, which, of course, was very true and real. But that doesn't exist anymore. But unfortunately, the black community is judging schools by the standards that were there 30 years ago.
But I thought that we heard quite recently in I can't remember where the statistics came from or this opinion came from, but there was a clear sort of indication that teachers have today in 2010 have lower expectations for black pupils, and that impacts on their results, it impacts on the way they're taught, and it impacts on the way they're disciplined.
Well, no, not the way they're disciplined, but well, what I would agree generally with that statement. I would say not just for black students, but for working class students, and that's about the liberal left. That's about the liberal left saying, you know what? He comes from a council estate. He can't do as well as somebody else. He's black, so well, at the end of the day, we can't expect so much from him. Now, nobody would ever say that outright, but I do think that liberal left point of view pervades our schools. So you're in agreement with me, and the right wingers do not think in that way. They think that anybody can pull themselves up with their own bootstraps. Anybody can make it as long as they have a goal, and they run after and try to achieve it.
Catherine, your views must make you very unpopular with a cohort of teachers, perhaps at your old school, at your own school, and perhaps more widely in the teaching movement. Are you going to stay in teaching, especially once you've published your next book, which I believe is going to lift the lid in some detail on what you think is at the heart of the rot?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think it's a complex situation. I actually think when teachers read my book, they will agree with 90% of what I say. They will recognize the classroom scenes. They will recognize the difficulties that they face. However, where they disagree with me is the political outlook that I then have on it. And of course, I'll stay in teaching. I love children. And I love schools, and I could never do anything else because that's why I wake up in the morning. I love my kids, and the reason why I'm speaking out is because I love my kids. And as hard as it is, as much criticism I may get, and you're right, from other teachers and from other people, you know, left-wing friends of mine who are coming down hard on me, and it's not an easy thing to take. I just keep my kids in my head, and I remember why I'm doing this, because I work as hard as I do for my children because I love them, and I have to do this for them because somebody must speak out for them.
Well, a lot of people, Catherine, are going to be cynical. A lot of people are going to be thinking, I mean, we spoke about this on this program a lot during the election, the fact that the rise of the Black Tory, you know, they're coming out of the woodwork all across the board, and people standing for positions, councillors and all the rest of it. And there is this worry that, well, not worry, but there's this sort of school of thought that says it's opportunistic. It's people that know that, I mean, for instance, they have made you the darling of their conference. I mean, Quentin Letts, I swear to God, was absolutely raving about you and the response that you got, and the fact that your speech was the most right wing. It was the most, the only only worthy of Norman Tebbit, he said. I don't know if you'd agree with that, but those were his words. He was infusing, frothing at the mouth. And I can imagine that you will now become the darling of the Tory party. If you want to leave teaching tomorrow, then there will be a path that's set out for you.
But, I'm not going anywhere.
But there will be people that are cynical about it and just see that you just, you know, you've done this as an opportunity to kind of get a platform.
Well, I do want a platform. That's true. I do want people
Well, okay,
to know
a platform,
what's going on.
A platform for you to kind of be successful in politics and as opposed to it being about caring about black pupils.
Well, I suppose you just have to watch what I do. I was standing out at the school gates this morning welcoming my kids into school. I came out of the conference, came back here, and I was teaching my kids. I love them, and I'm not going anywhere. You know, I work in a school at the moment, which is in very challenging circumstances. I came here deliberately because I wanted to work in this kind of environment, because I wanted to help turn the school around. The school has kind of practically all black kids who are here, and I work with them every day to make their lives better, and I don't see myself doing anything else. And part of what I did in talking at the Tory conference was the same as when I teach them. It's all about making their lives better.
Catherine, thank you very much indeed. We put you through the ringer, had a good discussion, and I'm very, very pleased that you came on this morning, and I hope things go well for you in whatever you decide to do, whether you stay in teaching or go into politics. But I tell you, you're not a shrinking violet, so we'll be talking to you again, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. All right, then. This is Colourful.